So we'll now go into a time of worship through the Word of God. Feels good to lead praise live again. You know, just seeing some of the families, you know, standing up and singing and, you know, being a part of that, I think there really is something to that, you know, when you're leading praise, to really join in, you know, together. Because, you know, we're one body in Christ and we're a family in Christ. And that's such an awesome thing that we get to share in together. Today, we're going to be looking into a different psalm. But before we get to that, I wanted to just share a quick picture. I know I don't normally do this, but this is a picture of Chloe. I know I don't get to share much. And if you don't have social media, you know, the pictures that we post, some of our church family can't really, you know, view them and things like that. So this is just a quick picture. Chloe just turned one, you know, this past week. And so this is her in a, you know, the Korean traditional, you know, dress called a hanbok. And, you know, there's other things laid out. There's something called like rainbow rice cake. That's kind of a standard thing. The first birthday is kind of a big deal, you know, in the Korean culture. And so we also did the thing where, you know, you lay out some things on a mat and then she goes and picks it. So we put like a ball out, a paintbrush, a pen, a Bible, I think like a $20 bill or something. And then, a stethoscope. And so, you know, she's gotten so fast at crawling now, but it was a little bit harder when she was wearing the traditional dress and everything. But she made her way and she actually ended up picking the paintbrush first. So she had the paintbrush in her hand, but like almost immediately after, she picked up a stethoscope. So she just kind of was holding them both and looking at them. So, you know, we did that with Esther's side of the family because the time difference, that's when they could see it. Then we did it again. And then she actually picked a pen. So, I mean, who knows what all of that means? It's just for fun. But I wanted to share that little bit of just kind of maybe a little bit more personally before we get started. Caleb's birthday, he's going to turn 4 on the 24th. And then Esther's birthday is on the 27th. So a lot of February birthdays. I'm sure we have February birthdays that are joining us here as well. So just one big happy birthday to everyone. I know she's a little small in the picture, but she's kind of small in real life too. I guess she's still a little baby. But we're going to move on now. I just wanted to share that with you. We're moving on from the longest psalm. You know, if we went through every section of Psalm 119, you know, we'd be well into, you know, next year. And we probably wouldn't even be close to being done yet. But we're going to move on to Psalm 121 today. And today's passage is titled, or today's message is titled, Trusting in the Lord's Care. Trusting in the Lord's Care. And this is a psalm in Psalm 121 that was likely sung by Israelite travelers on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship there at the temple. And in singing this song together, it really was, you know, this is what singing truth does. This is what singing praise does, as we just did. We remember the truths of God and reminders of who he is. And so that who he is, it affects who we are, right, as his people. And now we know through Christ as his children. So the same type of care that we see the psalmists proclaiming in Psalm 121, we also can take those promises in our lives through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And so we know that God, through the salvation, the forgiveness, the new life, eternal life that he offers through Christ, for those of us who receive and believe, we are now changed forever. Our purpose, our hearts, even who we are, we're a new creation in him. And God promises that he will always take care of us, that he will never leave our side, that through the ups and downs of life, this journey of life, that he will be there and he will care for us. And so I haven't forgotten. I know I said, you know, happy Lunar New Year, happy Chinese New Year. And I talked about some February birthdays, but it's also Valentine's Day. And so what better, you know, thing to remember and know, whether you're single or you're married or you're in a relationship, God's care is the most loving care and the best care that you will ever have in your life. More than your parents, more than your children might care for you, more than your husband or your wife will care for you. The Lord's care is the ultimate care that we can trust in our lives. So let's look at Psalm 121, and I hope that we'll be strengthened today as we look upon the Lord's care for us. Psalm 121 is a song of ascent. Verse 1, starting from there, this is the word of God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray one more time. God, we thank you for this word. Please be with us as we dive into your word together, your word that is living and active. I pray that we'd interact with it. God, that we wouldn't just listen as if these are words on a page, but that these are living words. You are the living word. And you want for us to know something deeply today. Maybe not something new, but in a more profound and deep way that we would understand your care for us. So help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I remember hearing a story, and maybe I've shared it before, but it's a story about a father and a son. And this father, you know, he wants to teach his son what he believes is a very important lesson. So he's a young kid, but the father would bring his son outside and stand him up on a high ledge on their porch in the front of their house. And then he would say, I want you to jump and I'll catch you. He promised him that he would catch him, but the young son was too scared to jump. So the father would take him off of that ledge of the porch and bring him back inside. The next day, the father would take this young son outside again and put him up on that high ledge on the porch and tell him to jump again. And he would promise that he would catch him. Well, the son inched a little bit more forward on the ledge, thinking about it, but he still didn't want to do it. So the father said, okay, I understand. And he would take his son down from the ledge and take him back inside. This happened for a few more days. And finally, the son, when he was up on that high ledge of the porch, he seemed ready. He seemed like he was going to really jump this time. So the father said, jump this time. I will catch you. Then the moment came. The son mustered up his trust and strength, and he took a leap and jumped. And that's when his father stepped aside and let his son fall to the ground. The son, obviously in tears, a little bit shocked and surprised, looked up at the father. When the father came to him, he looked down at him and said, this is the most important lesson that you'll know, that you'll ever learn, that you can't trust anyone. Now for me, even sharing the story, and when I first heard it, it's almost like, oh my goodness, like that is so wrong. There's something about that kind of father-son relationship where you should be able to trust your father fully. You should be able to trust him, that he'll be there for you, care for you. But this is, you know, something that you got to imagine this young child as he grows up, how it shapes his perspective about relationships, how it shapes his perspective about others in the world, how it shapes his perspective about just trust in general. And I think that this is, unfortunately, it's actually something that the world teaches almost as if it's a mantra that no one will take better care of you than you. So watch out for number one, watch out for yourself, because no one else is really going to do it. But the Bible teaches us something very different. From the very beginning, the Bible teaches us that there is someone that we can absolutely trust in for his care. And that is our Lord who loves us. That is our Lord who helps us. That is our Lord who cares for us so deeply that he makes a way for us to be with him forever and ever. And so we're going to talk about that today, trusting in the Lord's care. Why should we trust in the Lord's care as his people? And there's going to be three things that I'm going to talk about today. So let's go through those three points. Okay. First point is this: the Lord is our helper. That's going to be the first. The second is the Lord's love is steadfast. And lastly, the Lord secures our eternity. So these are just three points that we see from this passage that should encourage us and strengthen us in our faith so that we can and will trust in the Lord's care for us. So let's start with that first point. The Lord is our helper. When we look at verses 1-2, this is what it says. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, this is important to see, and I've mentioned it before, but this name Lord, I know that in this verse it's all caps, but it's very important to see that Lord is L-O-R-D, all capital letters within our Bibles. And why is that? This is the name that is set aside for the one true creator. Okay, and remember, this is called the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH, which means Yahweh, right? So when we see our creator God, this is what this verse, the psalmist is referring to, is the one true God. And so when we see and acknowledge that our God is the creator God, the one true creator, we can already start by seeing how much care he has for us as humanity, as his creation. Remember that he spoke the world into existence. He made the earth, and on it he made the water and the air, all the things that we need to live, the vegetation, plants, animals, right? All of it God made, and it was good. And all of it was in preparation, really, for us as human beings. When he made human beings, we were the most special of his creation because we were the only creatures, his only creation, that were made in his image. And so when the psalmist says, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that means creator God, he's saying, I know who made me. I know who is the one person that showed me already from the beginning that he cares. And so when we look at this, the details of this psalm, he says, you know, I look to the hills, and then he says, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See, there's this kind of trust that can be there when you know that someone who's all powerful, the only one, the Alpha and the Omega, we can trust that if he cares for us, if he's going to tell us that he cares for us, we can trust in his care. Now, one thing that I did want to mention is this, that when we say, you know, he says, look up, my eyes come from, where does our help come from, right? One thing we have to see is that when we're in trouble, when we're going through difficult circumstances, we have to learn to not keep our eyes and heads down. I think that's kind of a natural thing that happens sometimes, right? You know, it's like, why are you looking so down? Like, it's even part of our language, right? When things are going wrong or not going our way or hardships come, then we tend to kind of put our heads down. And yet God is saying, no, don't put your head down. Right? Keep our eyes not down, not looking around when we are in need. No, lift your eyes up to the one who is our helper. Lift your eyes up to the one who created the world, the hills that you see, the sky that you see, all the things in this world that you see. Look up to him. You can trust in his care. You can ask him for help. He will supply you what you need in your life if you just look up and see and acknowledge and go to the one who can help and who is willing to help. You see, there's that difference, right? There's people who can help you, and there's people who will help you. And if they will help you, God is the one who will do it in his grace and in his love, not expecting that because I did this for you, now you must do X, Y, and Z. No, because you are his people. You are his. Now, I just wanted to share a couple more verses from just kind of how the world views this area of trust. Now, if you guys, any of you guys watched the Super Bowl you know, during the halftime show, you know, there was this artist called The Weeknd, right? Without the E at the end. So if we can just go to some of the quotes, these are kind of really sad, right? This is from a lyric from one of his songs. He says, "Ain't nobody gonna care enough to catch you fall." Another couple quotes I found online: "Nobody in the universe is gonna help you or care for you. Only you have to take care of yourselves." Still another one: "Love yourself. Take care of yourself the most, because one day you're gonna die yourself. Nobody will be there to save you. It's your life. Make it or break it." You know how sad it must be, how hopeless and lonely it must feel when one truly believes that there isn't anyone that they can trust in the whole universe that they can trust. Just you. It's just you. You're alone. It's all about what you can do and what you can't do. And at the end of it all, you're just by yourself anyway. That's kind of the world's teaching. And so that's why even in America, especially, there's so much individualism and, oh, I got this. I got this. I can take care of myself. But let's look at what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You see, the Bible teaches us very differently. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, God is different. He never says, "You're alone, you messed up, this is your life, you take care of yourself. Hey, I made you, okay, now you go do you." There's actually people that really believe that. They say, "Well, I believe that there's a God, but he just let us, you know, he just left us here. Look at all the things going on. He just left us to our own devices or our own, you know..." But that's not God. Yes, he's the creator, but he's a creator that has an intimate, wants an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. So don't buy into the world's lies. Don't buy into the world's lies that you are going to live this life for yourself and then you're going to die yourself, that there's no one in the universe that could care. In fact, the creator of the universe actually cares about you. That should encourage you. That should make you feel like, wow, the creator of the universe cares about me. How amazing is that? So trust in the Lord's care, capital L-O-R-D, the one true Lord, the one true God, Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. Second thing is this, why we should trust in the Lord's care. Well, the Lord's love is steadfast. Verse 3-6 says this: "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Now, you might be wondering why I chose to use the word love here, that his love is steadfast, because you don't see that word anywhere within verses 3-6. But what we see in these verses is that the care of our Lord is rooted in his gracious love for us. Why else would he watch over us without slumber or sleep unless he valued us and cared for us and loved us so deeply? Why else would he choose to be our keeper? Why else would he give us shade and comfort and protection? You see, he doesn't have to do any of these things. In fact, it would have been just as well if God just said, "Okay, well, I made you. I gave you everything that you could possibly need. Now you guys are on your own." But God doesn't do that. He watches over us. It's steadfast in his love. It never stops. It's continual. Any time of the day, any moment of our lives, regardless of circumstances around us, he is loving us. And if you knew and believed that someone loved you that deeply, that he wouldn't even sleep, and he doesn't even sleep, how much more does that kind of garner that trust that he is worth just trusting him with our whole lives, that we can trust in his care for us? You know, when we're asleep, that's actually one of the most vulnerable times in our lives, right? Because when we're asleep, we don't know what's going on around us. We just kind of lay our heads down and we go to sleep. And God is saying, don't worry, you sleep. I'm not going to slumber. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to care for you. So that in your most vulnerable times in life, God is saying, trust that I am with you. Trust that I am keeping you. Trust that I am caring for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this: casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So anything that's going on in our hearts, the situation, circumstances of our lives, we know that God's love is steadfast, so we can go to him, bring those all before him, because he cares for each one of us. You know, this reminded me, you know, when Esther and I put Caleb down for bed, this is, I don't know why we have a picture of him just passed out. I love, you know, just taking pictures. I think he's so cute when he's asleep, when he's awake. And so I remember taking this picture, but, you know, the story that I want to share is that when Esther and I put Caleb down to bed, you know, oftentimes he'll ask us what we're going to do while he's in bed. You know, obviously his bedtime is a lot earlier than ours. And so, you know, we take the time to answer him, you know, that about the things that we're going to get done. And so Esther will say, you know, she has to clean up around the house while he's asleep. And then Caleb will ask this question, right? This poignant question. And then what, right? And then she'll answer again and say, well, she's going to put baby to bedtime for her bedtime. And then what, you know, Caleb will ask again. And he kind of just keeps that going. And then I'll, you know, jump in, I'll answer. Well, I got to finish up, you know, some work for church. And then Caleb will ask, and then what? And then what? Right? And then finally, through all the sequences of things that we're going to get done, I know you guys are probably like, why don't you just tell them to go to sleep? Stop asking questions, right? But, you know, we want to kind of take the time to just like explain what we're doing so that he just kind of has maybe, I don't know, peace of mind before he goes to sleep. But we'll finally get to the point where we'll say, well, Amma and Appa are going to go to sleep. You know, then we go to sleep. And I still remember, you know, Caleb, he didn't really believe us at first that Amma and Appa go to sleep. You know, I guess he sort of figured that because we're adults, we're grown-ups, like, we just never sleep. Because, you know, how would he know? He's, you know, asleep, you know, before we go to sleep, right? And so, you're not going to go to sleep. You know, that's what he would say at times. And I think he sort of figured that as parents who take care of him, you know, we stay awake and we know we have these monitors where we have like a camera in a baby's room and in Caleb's room just to make sure that they're okay. And so maybe he thought like we're just always constantly watching him on the monitor or something. But, you know, of course, if we could watch over our children every single moment of every day and have the energy and bandwidth to do that, we definitely do that. But, you know, it's just not possible. You know, so we taught Caleb this very important truth that everyone else in the world may fall asleep, but God will never sleep, and he will not stop in his love and care for him. That, of course, mom and dad love you, but God is the only one who can watch you and does watch you and cares for you even more than Amma and Appa can. You know, and that's a lesson that I have to learn for myself too. You know, that God is the one. Trust in his care, his goodness, his character. We can trust in the Lord's care. And maybe you've heard the saying that even the strongest man in the world cannot hold up his own eyelids when he's tired. It's true. But the God of the universe will not slumber when it comes to taking care of his people and showing us his love. You know, I just want us to maybe take some time, each day to just thank the Lord for his care. Take time each day and go to the Lord of the universe and thank him for his love for us. He doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. He gives us comfort, he gives us his care that is supernatural. He's always watching out for us. There's never a time where he's not watching out for us. And this is the awesome thing of our God. It's steadfast in his love. Throughout our whole lives, he will be with us. He will remain with us. And, you know, I think about that shade, right, that he says he offers. You know, the sun, it's still raging. It's still beating down on the earth. But the shade that he gives to us, he maybe at times doesn't change the circumstances. It's still hot. It's still hot. But the shade that he offers reminds us of his protection, his care, his peace. And I think that's a lot of times, even maybe like our hearts. The situation around us may still feel uncomfortable. it's raging heat, whatever it might be. But out of his steadfast love for us, as he gives us shade, he shields us. He gives us what we need to get through those times. His love is steadfast. Last thing is this, the Lord secures our eternity. The Lord secures our eternity. Verse 7 to 8 says this, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, these verses do not mean, and I've said this very often, as Christians, it does not mean that we won't face or deal with evil. It doesn't mean that we won't experience hardship or heartbreak or brokenness or failure in our lives. That is not what it means. So what does it mean? Well, what it means is that in this lifetime and the next, that God will always care for us. You see, he's securing something that's more valuable than even this time on the earth. All the things of this earth will pass, but ourselves, who we are, our souls, he will secure our eternity. You see, if we belong to God, if we belong to the Lord through what Christ has done, then nobody can take us away from him. And so when he says that he will keep us from all evil, it doesn't mean that we won't have to battle evil or confront evil, or that we may fall, you know, or that we may get hurt, you know, but it means that when those things happen, we remember that we are already secured forever in the Lord. That's promise of God. And his promises are true, that when it says forevermore, forevermore, it means that he'll keep us and care for us in this lifetime and the next. So that even when difficult things are happening in our lives, guess what? He's caring for you. We have to learn to see that. We have to learn to trust that. We have to learn to trust in the Lord's care. That it might not look exactly how you had imagined his care to look like, but he is doing something in you and for you as your people. Amen. It's the truth of God. You know, over this past week, you know, there's something that happened that reminded me that I have to absolutely trust in the Lord's care, both in this lifetime and the next, and not only for my life, but for my family's life. You know, Chloe just turned one this past week, and I'm thankful that God has continued to keep her. I pray every day that God would, you know, just keep her safe and protect her, help her to grow, you know, and be healthy and all these things. And well, you know, fresh off of turning 1 year old, she ended up getting her first cut. Or I guess a more technical word is laceration, right? And so she's gotten so good at you know, crawling now. She's so fast, and she managed to get into a recycling bag that we have in the kitchen, and she stuck her finger in an open soda can. And when she took her finger out, it was bleeding, and it was bleeding a lot, you know. And you know, let me tell you, as a dad who wants to protect his little girl from all the dangers of this world, you know, it pained me to see her in tears. And, you know, I just remember just thinking, I wish I could keep her safe from all the hardships and difficulties of life, all the pains in this world, all the evil in this world, and give her that security. But here I was holding her finger so that the bleeding would stop, applying pressure, and I couldn't even protect her from an aluminum soda can. And I kind of thought about that, you know, I really did, you know, and as I was holding pressure on her little finger, you know, I was praying that the bleeding would stop. I was praying that there would be healing for her little finger. And I was praying for him. And as I was praying for her, the prayers then shifted to just praying for her life in general, you know, because only God can really protect her. Only God can really care for her in a perfect way that only the Lord can. And so I was entrusting my daughter. I was entrusting Chloe to God's care. I was trusting in the Lord's care for her, that his care for her is greater than even the care that I could provide. And so when you see, you know, like you see her little arm, you see she has a little, you know, sock thing on her arm. And that's because we had to actually go to, you know, a pediatric urgent care, and they had to actually, the cut was so long that they had to glue it and then just kind of try to keep those fingers straight while the glue bonded. So we have this dressing that we have on her hand, and then you got to put socks to bulk it up so she won't really move them around very much. And look at her. Isn't she so cute? Sorry. I mean, I just, my heart, I'm very like, you know, maybe soft in this kind of area, but like, I was like so much like in pain. Just seeing, I know it's a cut and those kind of things, but what a reminder. As I was praying over her cut, started praying, Lord, but keep her soul. Help me to teach her more about you and your care. Not that dad can take care of everything or take care of you, but that God, he's the one who you trust in. He's the Lord. He's the one you have to rely on more than me, more than Ummah. And I just started praying for her life, that she would grow up in the Lord, that she would know him deeply and personally, and that she would grow up to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And then, what happens when you know the Lord? What happens when you trust in the Lord's care? You have eternal life. He secures our eternity. God will take care of Chloe and Kayla better than I ever can. But that doesn't mean, obviously, that I stop. I want to show God. I want to preach God. I want to live out God in my life so that she will know him, so that Caleb will know him, so that you all, so that we all would know our God more deeply and trust in his care. And again, you know, you hear this, these words, you know, the Lord will keep you, keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And there's actually a lot of, you know, people in Jewish tradition that will recite this psalm during birth, because it talks about your going out, right, and you're coming in. And so really what they see this psalm as well is that it means from the duration of your life until when you're called back, that God will take care of you. The creator of the universe, our Lord, is our helper. Go to him and receive his care. The Lord's love is steadfast and constant. Trust in his care for you. It never stops. The Lord secures our souls. He secures our eternity. For those who trust in him, for those who believe in him, that is his promise. That once you are saved, once you are in his hand, nothing can ever take you out. Nothing can ever remove you from his love, from his care. So go to him and receive that. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And as we live in this world, trust in the Lord's amazing care for you and for his people. There's a couple of verses that I want to share before we close this time. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, this is what it says. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There's nothing that God will not care for us, protect us, and bring us out of. He has secured our eternity. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the truth of God. And so let's go to God and receive the care that he has for us. Let's trust in the Lord's care. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it is true and that it reveals more and more that indeed you are our worthy God, worthy of our trust, worthy of our trust because you care for us so deeply. Thank you, God, that you are our helper. Thank you, God, that you are with us and that you are for us and that you will protect us, Lord, especially those of us who are parents. May we surrender our children up to you and know that your care for them is greater than the care that we could ever give. Even for their grandparents and even for husbands and wives, God, in everything, may we trust first and foremost in your care. Because you're the creator of the world. You are the Lord. And you love us. And you will bring your people to yourself. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.